Ezekiel chapter number 18, this is the third week that we've been in this chapter, and this will be the last week that we are here. We've been talking about the sins of the fathers being passed on to generations, and we kind of finished up that last week. And we're going to look at Ezekiel chapter number 18, one more thought out of this chapter, and it kind of goes with everything that we have talked about. So Ezekiel chapter number 18. Let's look at verse number 20, Ezekiel chapter number 18, verse number 20. The Bible says, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father, neither shall the father bear the iniquity of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. But if the wicked will turn from all his sins that he hath committed, and keep all my statutes, and do that which is lawful and right, he shall surely live, he shall not die. All his transgressions that he hath committed, they shall not be mentioned unto him. In his righteousness that he hath done, he shall live. Have I any pleasure at all that the wicked should die, saith the Lord God, and not that he should return from his ways and live? But when the righteous turneth away from his righteousness, and committeth iniquity, and doeth according to all the abominations that the wicked man doeth, shall he live. All his righteousness that he hath done shall not be mentioned. In his trespass that he hath trespassed, and in his sin that he hath sinned, in them shall he die. Yet ye say, the way of the Lord is not equal. Hear now, O house of Israel, is not my way equal? Are not your ways unequal? When a righteous man turneth away from his righteousness, and committeth iniquity, and dieth in them, for his iniquity that he hath done shall he die. Again, when the wicked man turneth away from his wickedness that he hath committed, and doeth that which is lawful and right, he shall save his soul alive. Because he considereth and turneth away from all his transgressions that he hath committed, he shall surely live, he shall not die. Yet saith the house of Israel, the way of the Lord is not equal. O house of Israel, are not my ways equal? Are not your ways unequal? Therefore I will judge you, O house of Israel, every one according to his ways, saith the Lord God. Repent and turn yourselves from all your transgressions, so iniquity shall not be your ruin. Cast away from you all your transgressions, whereby ye have transgressed, and make you a new heart and a new spirit. For why will ye die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, saith the Lord God. Wherefore turn yourselves and live ye." Let's pray this morning. Father, I do thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for all that you allowed us to do this week, and just another week that we're able to come and meet this morning on a Sunday morning. And thank you for the beautiful weather it was this morning, and Lord, the sunrise, we watched it come up. And Lord, I thank you for your grace as we talk about your grace some this morning. And Lord, I thank you for that. And Lord, I don't deserve to be here, and I don't believe anybody else could honestly stand and say that we deserve to be here today. And Lord, I thank you for that, and I pray that you just help us to not frustrate the grace of God. And I pray that we would just take advantage of the opportunities that you give us to be good witnesses for you and to live our lives for you. And we'll thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. If you go to flip over a few chapters, Ezekiel chapter number 33. Ezekiel chapter number 33. We kind of have another reiteration of what we just read. Ezekiel chapter 33, verse number 17. The Bible says, "Yet the children of thy people say, the way of the Lord is not equal. But as for them, their way is not equal. When the righteous turneth from his righteousness and committeth iniquity, he shall even die thereby. But if the wicked turn from his wickedness and do that which is lawful and right, he shall live thereby. Yet ye say, the way of the Lord is not equal. O you house of Israel, I will judge you, every one after his ways." And we're going to talk about the equality of the Lord this morning. The equality, or, you know, is God fair? Because a lot of times you hear that statement thrown out as an accusation against God. And I want to help everybody this morning, and we're going to refute that. Because God is fair and God is equal. And what were the Israelites doing in Ezekiel chapter number 18, Ezekiel chapter number 33? the Israelites were basically coming to God and saying, God, you've punished us. You're not being fair to us. Now, we've got everybody in today's society are all cut up about, you know, they want everything to be fair. And really, they're not concerned about everything being fair and equal. They want better rights, okay? They're not concerned about that. I was reading the paper a couple weeks ago, and the Terre Haute Tribune Star, and I don't get into politics. I don't read the newspaper except for Sunday mornings, and I don't watch the news. So you come to me and talk to me about political things. I have no clue what's going on for the most part. I kind of rely on Eric Miller and some of the other trusted sources but you know what? I kind of live a really pretty happy life. I don't worry about that stuff. I see it this way. If I can do something that can impact it, okay, let me know and I'll do what I can. But if I can't change anything, there's no reason me fretting about it, okay? So I live pretty happily that way. And but I was reading the paper the other day, and they were taking these polls about our president, President Trump. And honestly, I will say I don't agree with everything necessarily, but I've been pretty happy with the things he's done, okay? And some people don't, you know, yeah, it hurts some things, but he's doing it to help our country, I think, for the most part. And, you know, economically, I mean, yeah, there's things that hurt us and hurt our pocketbook at the moment, but in the long term, it's better for our country, all right? So anyway, everybody's got their opinion, but this was interesting. I thought it was interesting. They were doing they had basically an interview with two different people and had a picture, okay? And some of you may have seen this in the Tribune Star. They had a picture of these two different people. One was a lady, and they were trying to get the woman's perspective of, you know, President Trump, because he's, you know, everybody says he's anti-woman and everything like that. So they were trying to get her perspective. And then they had this other guy. And the two pictures, if you were to go back a couple weeks and look, you would see what I'm talking about. The two pictures was, and I believe she was a Christian lady, okay? She was very conservatively dressed, she looked happy, okay? Which is amazing in today's society to find somebody that actually looks happy without being, you know, strung out on drugs and not that kind of happy, all right? And she looked pleasant. She looked happy. And then the other one was, and it was a nice bright picture, and she was smiling. And I read what she said. And then it had another one, and it was this guy that was dressed real, you know, like most of society today, okay, just poorly represented. And he had this dog in this picture, and he was, and they had the two views, okay? And she was pro-Trump, okay? Pro-President Trump, and he was anti-President Trump, okay? And so I read their biographies. She was a homemaker, okay? Which is a biblical thing to be. She was a homemaker, and she was very approving of what he has done. And, you know, they asked her about his morals, and she, you know, she said, well, okay. So he's had some moral failures at some point in his life, maybe. But he is doing what's right now, okay? And that's what you're asking me about, so that's what I'm telling you about, okay? And it's, yeah, that's refreshing. And then the other one was, I don't know what he was, okay? He was an independent, okay? And he didn't agree with the things that President Trump was doing and so on and so forth. And she was a homemaker. She was, you know, she was happily married. And this was like in the biography of her. Happily married, had two or three kids. I don't remember. He was, all right, a lifelong bachelor, all right? And he worked at McDonald's. I'm like, wow. And this is what you're comparing things to. But I said all that to say this. Something that she said was very interesting. She said in her... They asked her something about the woman's, you know, if she felt that she was equal to a man. And she said something interesting. She said, if I was running for office, I wouldn't want people to vote for me because I was a woman. I would want people to vote for me because I was a better candidate. And, you know, and everybody in today, and, you know, I wouldn't necessarily vote for her. I don't know her, okay? But there, that shows the error, the problem. Everybody wants you to, okay, if you're an African American, if you're a black person, they just, well, you got to vote for him because he's black. No, I don't. You got to vote for her because she's a woman and, you know, to make it equal. All right. And, you know, we've got this whole equal employment opportunity, okay, where businesses are being pressured into hiring less than quality employees because all these employees say, well, if you don't hire me, it's because I am, and they throw out their fair thing. Well, this isn't fair. You just didn't hire me because I'm, you know, a woman, or you didn't hire me because my skin's a different color, or you didn't hire me because of my gen. No, it's, I didn't hire you because you're not as a good prospective employee, okay? We've got, this is in the housing market, okay? There's, you see on these, a little house with an equal sign in it, okay? Equal housing opportunity, all right? What is that? It's basically people that are crying, you got to be fair to me, okay? No, you earn what you get, okay? And we've got a society that doesn't want to earn what they get, okay? And that's where the Israelites are. Okay, I kind of went a long course, maybe a rant, but that's where the Israelites are right now. They're getting, remember Ezekiel, they're in Babylonian captivity right now, and they're crying to God and saying, God, you're not being fair to us. And God said, I'm being fair. You're not the ones that's being fair. What does equal mean? Equal means a balance, okay? Equal means it's equal on both sides. It's fair all the way across, okay? And it's not right for people to accuse God of not being fair or bringing judgment in their lives when they've lived their life in sin. Now, I'm not talking about this morning. We're not going to talk about, you know, I understand there are bad things that happen to good people. And, you know, we hear a lot of, I think we hear quite a few messages, and I've probably even talked about why bad things do happen to good people, because they do, okay? But you know what that is? That is God putting you through a fire to make you a better person and to refine you so you can be a better person for him. But we're going to talk this morning about God's equality. Is God fair? Because the world wants to say, and a lot of Christians, they want to throw this at God and say, God, you're not fair. You're not being fair to me. Okay? Well, honestly, and we're going to progress. We're going to go a little bit farther. I'm kind of glad that God is not fair. Okay? Because there is something called the grace of God, that if God was fair in the way that most people say, I want God to be fair, we would all spend eternity in hell, okay? And so there's a thing called the grace of God that hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, okay? And that grace of God brings us to that. So we're going to look at quite a few references this morning, and we're going to see that God is a fair God, okay? When somebody works righteousness, preacher just talked about, I don't remember which message it was, he talked about casting your bread upon the water. You know, God has an interesting way of, you know, you do something, and you think, well, that's just, you know, I've lost that. I've lost that bread. Well, God has a way of bringing it back again, and making sure that his servants are always repaid for the good that they've done, okay? And likewise, wickedness, be sure your sin will find you out, okay? My mom always, if there was one verse in the Bible that my mom really seemed like I remember my mom, maybe it was just because of my shortcomings, but that was like the one verse I remember my mom saying, be sure your sin will find you out. And it was always after I got in trouble. I don't know what the deal was with that, but be sure your sin will find you out. It's like, thanks. I remember that. Wasn't Jesus loves you or, you know, anything like that. It was be sure your sin will find you out. It's like, man, mom, you're not being fair. And then, anyway, we won't go there. All right, let's go to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 26. We're going to jump around just a little bit. I don't know that I have an order per se, but we're going to talk about the grace of God probably towards the end. But 1 Samuel chapter number 26, this is the story of when David is hiding and King Saul came and hid, and he took King Saul's spear. If you look at verse number 22, Bible says, "And David answered and said, Behold the king's spear, and let one of the young men come over and fetch it. The Lord," verse 23, "the Lord render to every man his righteousness and his faithfulness. For the Lord delivered thee into my hand today, but I would not stretch forth mine hand against the Lord's anointed. And behold, as thy life was much set by this day in mine eyes, so let my life be much set by in the eyes of the Lord, and let him deliver me out of all tribulation." Now, most of us, I know my nature, okay? If a guy's hunting for you, all right, and he's, because this is what's happened, David is on the run and King Saul is trying to hunt David down. He's trying to kill him. There is no hiding that in the scripture. Saul is trying to kill David. Okay, he's already tried multiple times. And King Saul comes into the cave, the stronghold where David is, and David takes his spear and I think his bolster, it says. And okay, here is a prime opportunity. You say, "Well, Brother Chad, that would have just been, you know, that's self-defense. That would have been fair." Okay? But you notice what David said, okay? He said, "Saul is the Lord's anointed. I don't want to raise my hand up against Saul, because I don't want God to raise his hand up against me." That's the reason that David didn't do this. Now, what did he say there? He said in verse number 23, "The Lord render to every man his righteousness and his faithfulness." All right, what is that? It's saying, all right, God, you're just, and your ways, your balance, if you would, is fair, it's true, it's just. I want to have that. If this would happen to God's anointed here, who would be the next? Who was already anointed to be king? David was. So if a man rises up against the anointed of God, and the next anointed knows, hey, I'm the next one. If God is fair, what do you think that I think David had in the back of his mind? If I rise up against him, who's going to rise up against me? Now remember, I think in the back of David's mind, wonder what about all those mighty men that he's thinking about that are his soldiers, the Benaiahs and these other guys that are, I mean, men's men. If I rise up against the anointed of God, who's going to rise up against me when I'm, because remember, God's fair, God's just, okay? Because God hates, let me skip over here, God hates an unbalanced. Let's go to Proverbs chapter number 16. Proverbs chapter number 16. There's several verses. I just pulled out two that we can look at real quick. Both of them in Proverbs, it'll be easy. Proverbs chapter number 16. Verse number 11. "A just weight and balance are the Lord's. All the weights of the bag are his work." Go back to Proverbs chapter 11. Proverbs chapter 11. So we see that a just balance is of the Lord. Proverbs chapter 11, verse number 1. "A false balance is abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight." Now, remember in the old times, you know, they didn't have digital scales that they weighed everything with, but they would have a balance. So if you put a pound of sugar, okay, they would have a pound weight, all right? And that would balance. When my dad worked over at Lars, and it's still there today, all right, they had a scale, okay? And what was that scale? You drove up on the scale, and then you balanced with weights, okay? So it had a certain amount of weights on there, and then you had this little slide thing, and you slid it over until your arrow pointed right in the middle of the slot. And I still remember doing it. I slide that thing over until you get it just right, and then you tap it back, and if it wasn't quite right, and you tap it back the other way until it was perfect. What is that? It's a just weight. You know, God wants us, and God is just. He's fair. Okay? What God said, a false balance is an abomination to me. All right? this whole movement in our society about, you know, everybody wants to be fair. They say fair, but in all reality, they want the scales tipped in their favor. That's an abomination. Okay? Does that make sense? All right? That's an abomination to God. Well, we want it to be fair. Well, it's okay. Hey, if something favors you, I'm not saying that's wrong, but don't call it fair. Does that make sense? All right? If you got two sports teams to come together, okay, and you've got, you know, 11 people on this team and you've got 11 people on the other team, but you've got three really, really good guys, all right? Well, what are you supposed to do? Have the three really good guys sit out so it's, you know, more fair? No. You know what that is? You have a winner and you have a loser. Ah, a novel concept in today's society. Everybody wants a participation prize. Okay? No, that's not a participation prize. All right? There's winners and there's losers. Now, God, He rewards righteousness and He judges wickedness. You've got winners and losers. Okay? We don't need to be people that are always saying, well, that's not fair. That's not fair. Kids today, I would go out on school break. Sometimes it was good for me to go on school break with the kids during school. Sometimes it's not good. Because, like, they got this game, Octoball, and everybody, you know, nobody wants to be called out. Well, the advantage of having an adult watch, or, like, if we play kickball, I'm always the pitcher, okay? Now, I want to be fair. I want to be fair. I want to be consistent. I don't favor one team over the next team, okay? That's not consistent. That's, honestly, if I did that, what would that be to God? An abomination. In all reality, that would be an abomination. I'm not supposed to favor one team over the next, okay? But it's interesting how many kids, well, I'm not out, and you saw the ball hit them. Yes, you are out. Okay? And they get upset because they're out. No, you lost. You're out. Okay? And we've got this mentality in society that everybody's just got to hand us things. All right? Yeah, God will hand you things. If you're good, He'll hand you righteousness. If you're bad, He'll hand you evil. All right? And the Israelites had this all messed up in their mind. But God has a unique way of bringing things back around. There's a verse, and I never really got it, and I don't know that I still really understand it, but I just think it's a humorous verse. In Ecclesiastes, the Bible talks about he that rolleth a stone. You know where I'm going? You know the Bible talks about he that rolleth a stone, it will what? Return upon him. He that diggeth a pit shall fall therein. Isn't it interesting how God has a way of bringing everything back around? Okay, and there's been times in my life, I know that it's like, very distinctly, I think the Holy Spirit whispers in the back of my mind, you had that coming. How many has ever said to your kids, because all of you have kids, when their kids, your grandkids do something, remember that whole thing about, yeah, you used to be that way, and now it's, you're reaping what you sowed. You know that thing? Well, God, I think in all reality, God has a way. Well, I got away with it. Did you? Or are your kids going to bring that back on you? Remember, when you sow something, do you get back what you sow? No, you always get more back. And it's interesting how I think I'm reaping in my children sometimes things that I sowed for my mother, and it's coming back in manifold blessings. Let's go to 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles. Yes, indeed. Now, we're going to kind of transition maybe just a little bit here. But God is fair. God is just. Okay, there you can't accuse God of being unfair. Okay, if anything, God is gracious to us, and we don't get what we really do deserve. Okay, and I'm thankful for that. It's interesting. Everybody wants the good. Well, they want to reap a lot more than what they sowed in good, but they never want to reap as much as they sowed in evil. All right? Never. I don't know. You know, it's a mentality thing. But 2 Chronicles chapter 6, most of you know about 2 Chronicles chapter 6, and a lot of people preach about nationwide revival out of 2 Chronicles chapter number 6. But it talks about, and we're going to look at several different places. It talks about if a man sins, and I'm just kind of shortcutting this, but if a man sins and then he repents and turns back to God, what they ask God to do. So 2 Chronicles chapter 6, look at verse number 23. So we just got done in the last few verses, 20 through 22, talking about the sin. Then verse 23, "Then hear thou from heaven, and do, and judge thy servants by requiting the wicked, by recompensing his way upon his own head, and by justifying the righteous, by giving him according to his righteousness. And if thy people Israel be put to the worse before the enemy, because they have sinned against thee, and shall return and confess thy name, and pray and make supplication before thee in this house, then hear thou from the heavens, and forgive the sin of thy people Israel, and bring them again into the land which thou gavest to them and to their fathers. When the heaven is shut up, and there is no rain, because they have sinned against thee, yet if they pray toward this place, and confess thy name, and turn from their sin, when thou dost afflict them, then hear thou from heaven, and forgive the sin of thy servants, and of thy people Israel, when thou hast taught them the good way wherein they should walk, and send rain upon thy land, which thou hast given unto thy people for an inheritance." Now we can go back. Verse number 30 says basically the same thing. Verse number 33. And it all talks about God, when God hears from heaven. But if you'll go look at it, it's always preceded by, okay, if the nation of Israel is getting beat in battle and they realize that they have sinned against you and they turn and come back to you, then hear from heaven. If there's a drought in the land and there's no rain, and it's because we have sinned against you and we turn, but you know what it always comes back to? God sending judgment because of their good or because of their evil? Because of their evil. Okay? Now we see here that you're stuck with it. But we see something that I think is kind of introduced here. It's the grace of God. It's the forgiveness of God. It's the mercy of God. Okay? It's people coming back to God and saying, "God, we've sinned. God, we've sinned. Would you forgive us of our sin and heal our land?" And then it talks about how God will send the rain, how God will send the deliverer for them. Okay? Go to Proverbs chapter number 24. I think we'll look at this verse real quick. All right, once again, we're going to look at basically a man that does something and gets paid for what he does. Verse number 11, Proverbs chapter 24, verse number 11. "If thou forbear to deliver them that are drawn unto death and those that are ready to be slain, if thou sayest, behold, we knew it not, doth not he that pondereth the heart consider it?" Now, who is he that pondereth the heart? God. Okay? So even... Well, nobody saw it. God saw your heart. God saw your heart. "And he that keepeth thy soul, doth not he know it? And shall not he render to every man his work?" I'm going to read you another verse over in Proverbs chapter 12. Let me get there real quick. Proverbs chapter 12, verse number 14. "A man shall be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth, and the recompense of a man's hands shall be rendered unto" who? Him. Okay, so the things that I do with my hands are going to come back to me. Now, with that in mind, let's go to Romans chapter number 6. Familiar verse, you know where I'm going with this. Romans chapter 6, verse number 23. "For the wages of sin is" what? death. Now, we use this in the Romans Road. We use this in when we show somebody how to be saved. For the wages of sin is death. And what are wages? Same thing I ask everybody when I go with them in the plan of salvation. What are wages? The things you get for what you do. What is that? That is God's fairness. That is God's equality. Okay? God won't let you into heaven just because, you know, your last name is whatever your last name is. Well, God, don't you know that my grandpa was a Baptist? You know, I talked about that a week or so ago. You know, my grandpa, you know, my grandma was a deacon in the church. You know, I hear all kinds of things, honestly. It's like, really? There's a special place for that. You're just because your last name's something doesn't mean that God says, oh, you know, he's something special. Or just because somebody fulfilled a position in the church, all right? There's going to be lost church members in hell. A lot of lost church members in hell. Just because you go to Blessed Hope Baptist Church doesn't mean that you get a free ticket into heaven. All right? Doesn't happen. Just because you went to Blessed Hope Baptist School doesn't mean that you get a free ticket. That doesn't happen. You are judged according to the works, and I'm judged according to the works of my hands. For the wages of sin is death, a physical death and a spiritual death. But here comes the grace of God. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. This is the grace of God. This is the gift that we talk about. We'll go to flip back just a couple chapters. Romans chapter number 2. Romans chapter number 2. If we looked at, I can't for time's sake, I should be done probably, but Romans chapter 2, verse number 4 and verse number 5, it talks about the hardness of their hearts. Verse number 6, it says the revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. Look at down at verse number 11. For there is no respect of persons with God. God doesn't care who you are, okay? God judges according to your deeds. Romans chapter 3, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all are sinners. And because of that, Romans chapter 6, verse 23, we're all judged according to our sin. But what does the world want to do? Well, God, you just need to be, you're not fair to me. No, he's fair. You all get the same punishment. We all get the same punishment. And it's hell. Okay? And but there is the grace of God. All right? In the Old Testament, you lived and died more by the works that you did. When Jesus Christ came, all right, Galatians chapter, let's go to Galatians chapter 2. We're going to hurry, get done with all this. Galatians chapter 2, when Jesus Christ came, he brought the grace of God. The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Galatians chapter 2. All right, and I think everybody has a pretty good grasp of the grace of God. Let me hold your place in Galatians chapter 2. I'm going to flip back real quick. Ephesians chapter 2. Hold your place in Galatians. I'm going to flip to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, because of the grace of God, I've been saved. Okay? Now, that's a blessing. That's huge. It's not because of the works that I have done. Because what do my works get me? A spot in hell. That's the fairness of God. But the grace of God comes up and says, hey, I don't know if everybody's, you've heard probably Dr. Roloff, Lester Roloff's message, Dr. Grace and Dr. Law, okay? You know, Dr. Law said, well, you're condemned to hell. And Dr. Grace come up and said, but there's a remedy. There's a remedy. And you know, that's a blessing for us Christians. That's what our hope is built on, okay, is the grace of God. But in Galatians chapter 2, I'm going to read this. Verse number 21, the Bible says, I do not frustrate the grace of God. I do not frustrate the... How many has ever been frustrated with something? You know that feeling, okay? And I think sometimes the grace of God gets frustrated with me. God says, look, Chad, I gave you, you know, I forgave all that. Why would you go back to that way of living? Okay, why would you go back there? Why did Hosea's wife, when Hosea brought her out of all of that, why did Hosea's wife go back to the way she lived? That was an example. That book of Hosea is an example of most Christians. We get saved and we say, well, the grace of God covers everything. Well, it did. It does. But why would you go back and live that way? That doesn't make sense to me, okay? And there are ways that God brings judgment. Remember, God's fair. God brings judgment back into our lives. So we see that the grace of God saves us. But as a Christian, I don't want to frustrate the grace of God. I don't want to frustrate that grace. I can't fall from grace, okay? Once you become a child of God, you're a child of God, okay? You know, nothing can change that. I'm Jack Gordon's son, okay? And there is nothing that can change that. I can change my last name. I can. But I'm still his son, okay? I can go out and murder somebody. But I'm still his son. There's nothing I can do that can change the fact that I... And when you become a child of God, you can't change that fact. But were there times in my life growing up that I greatly wondered, man, this punishment that I'm receiving, that doesn't seem like a very fatherly thing to do. That's not the love of a father. No, that was the love of a father. Okay? That was the love of a father. That's because of the, you know, I never remember getting spanked for something that I didn't deserve. I remember a lot of times I didn't get spanked for something I really did deserve, okay? But I never remember getting spanked for something I didn't deserve. You know why? Because I had a fair father, but I also had a gracious father. You know, our Father, our Heavenly Father, He's fair, but He's also gracious. He's also gracious, and I'm thankful for His grace. We don't have time. We need to be finished. I'll give you a couple of references. You can go to Romans chapter 5. It talks about the grace of God. Verse number 8, verse number 15 through 21, chapter 6, first couple of verses in chapter 6. You know, as a Christian, and Rachel, what were you talking about this morning? Well, I just want to reiterate how thankful I am for the grace of God. Okay? And I understand, Rachel, you didn't grow up, you know, living however. It doesn't matter. I would go to the same place as a heathen would, because of my sin. We're all condemned to hell, okay? And the grace of God has brought salvation to us. But the other thing is let's not frustrate the grace of God. I don't think God, because in Ezekiel chapter 18, the Bible says God doesn't want anybody to die. It says that in Ezekiel chapter 18. And Ezekiel chapter 33, it says the same thing. God, why should you die? God has no pleasure in them that die. Okay? God doesn't want that. But because of our sin, that has to happen. You know, I don't get any enjoyment when Micah does something that he's not supposed to, and I have to discipline him. It's not like it's something I don't have this power thing. I don't get any enjoyment in it. It hurts when he does something. But you know, there's something also. He just started doing this thing. He'll come up to my wife. He hasn't done it to me yet, I don't think. He'll spill something, okay? And it's an accident. Just spill something, and he'll come up, and he'll grab my wife's leg. He'll be, Mommy, I'm sorry. And he's not prompted to. He just does it. You know, there's something in your heart that says, okay, I'll clean it up. Even as frustrated as you were, oh, don't worry, it's okay. I'll get it. You know, I think God sometimes is, you know, he gets frustrated. But you know what he wants us to do, God? I screwed up. I'm sorry. You know, and I think that's maybe something to keep in the back of your mind. Instead of just going on like nothing ever happened, God wants us to repent. God wants us to get right with Him. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let's pray this morning. Father, thank you for your grace. Lord, thank you for your equalness, but more so I thank you for your grace. And thank you that I don't get what I really do deserve. Me and my wife are talking this week, God, and you've been so good to us. And even if we don't have the things that we have or if we lost everything, God, your grace has been awful good. And I thank you for that. And Lord, I pray that we would just live our lives with your grace in mind and how much we really aren't getting what we do deserve. And I thank you for that. And I pray that we wouldn't get this selfish mentality. Lord, I pray that we would be able to help others with that. Thank you for all that you do. Thank you for your love. In Jesus' name, amen.